Chapter 10. Give me Methuselah's protection, give me hell, or give me high water. As Katami's condition healed, he was a ticking time bomb of potentially serious witchcraft. The SOM had become hellbent on murdering him. This would be done by whatever means necessary, even if unethical, and certainly unlawful methods were used in order to completely destroy him. Now that it was known that he was a historical eschatologist, it was a matter of time before he would be murdered, despite having moved all the way from Westneth to the Armora Mountains, in the village of Kamisadu. Now that the SOM was under Katami, it was a matter of time before he would be murdered, if Methuselah had nothing to say about it. As another knock was on the door, this one was soft, almost considerate because of Katami's condition. Katsukun opened it, and there was a Todd dressed in purple. He had no crown and only wore the robes. He looked at Katami, and then at Katsukun. He inquired of Katsukun, pointing at Katami.
Is this the silence you spoke to me about?
Yay, this is the silent.
Katsukun responded.
I notified you about the potential witchery around Kamisadu, and this was why.
The noble Todd nodded and told Katsukun.
I will need a moment alone with him, and maybe his wife and mother for a second.
Katsukun nodded and slinked away to a shelter. The noble Todd sat on the edge of Katami's bed and asked him,
Katsukun notified me about your status as a Shun Silent. Are you able to confirm that you are such a prophet?
Katami responded with,
I should have my setup or text somewhere for you to check.
The noble Todd was shocked that Katsumi did not confirm or deny it. After processing it, he realized why. Katsumi only used the set apart texts as the measure, which was why he made the recommendation to check the set apart texts. The noble Todd then asked him,
Where do you have it?
Top bookshelf, far left of it. That is where I have the historical Alteriad scriptures, of which I have used for years.
Katsumi knew exactly where he placed his set apart text, and the noble Todd could not blame him for it. The noble Todd went to go check for himself, since Katsumi was resting. After returning with the scriptures, he opened it and handed it to Katsumi. Katsumi, meanwhile, flipped through to find the conditions for a silent prophet. He handed it over to the noble Todd and told him,
Read this section from the Book of Kaimato and think for yourself. You shall know if you are in the presence of a silent or not.
The noble Todd read the passage to himself. But not only did he do this, but he checked the cross-references that were spattered about everywhere to get the full picture. This took several minutes, and as he read and looked at Katami, the noble Todd's facial expression darkened and turned grim. He looked at Katami and simply told him,
You are way wiser than I thought.
Katami was not surprised by that, as this was the first time the noble Todd had seen a Shun Silent firsthand and in person.
I cannot blame you for your surprise. When nobles I talk to are notified that I am a silent, I always do this to show them.
I have read the cross-references that were made in this book, and I was surprised to see that you had the exact version I read years ago, before becoming King of Armora.
The noble Todd sighed, closed the book, and set it aside.
Had anyone else done this, or am I the only one who read the conditions thoroughly?
I think you're the only one who read even the cross-references and definitions as described by historical eschatologists.
Katsumi sighed before continuing.
I have to commend you for that, as nobody else will do what you have just done.
I thought I was a silent as well, so I know what this experience was like.
The king adjusted his robe slightly.
While I was found to be a silent, I was never one to your level, as this entire kingdom believes in the historical viewpoint of the apocalyptic texts.
He looked at Katami before continuing.
We are the only kingdom to do this in Westneth, and Artoriad had been attempting to destroy this kingdom for years.
He will not be able to destroy this kingdom, as the great horror is about to begin. Nobody who is inside of Westneth shall survive, and the sun, moon, and stars are about to fall.
Katami knew what was occurring.
which was why Methuselah moved him to armor in the first place.
Anyone who comes here, repents, and starts living out the life they were supposed to, shall be safe. They may come as they are, though never stay that way.
First Armright 6. The king knew what Katsumi was paraphrasing. Yokia knew that the mountains of Armra were safe for the great horror.
Katsumi's eyes widened at the name Yokia. He asked the king, "Was that the Viking-looking individual who is formerly a fox?"
"Last time I met with him, yay, he looked like a human Viking."
The king recalled something from a meeting they had some time back.
"He did tell me that he made the switch, as he was to be murdered if he were still a fox."
Katsumi then revealed to the king,
"I had met Yokia myself, and in the same form you probably spoke to him in. This was shortly before he departed from Westneth and journeyed all the way here to Armra."
"No wonder he spoke so highly of you, regaling to me what he noticed about you recently."
The king was an absolute shock. Honestly, who could blame him? This type of thing was certainly a sight to behold if one did not know why Yokia made the switch he had.
"He knew you were someone never to be messed with, protected at all costs."
"It was never a shock to me, though quite a surprise when I found Yokia just standing there, ensuring he devalued the land my property was on, so it could eventually become a waste for Wesnith's money changers."
Katsumi had researched this slightly, though that was his first impression.
"I had not asked him about that, however, and maybe I could have done that. I had bigger fish to fry, so therefore, I was unable to ask him about much."
The king nodded, looked at Katsumi, and simply told him,
"All I can say on this matter is to just keep doing what you do best, and I shall be happy when you do so."
He then left to tend to some other things in Kamisadu. Katsumi, Misagi, and Aurelia, meanwhile, were all snuggled up to one another, though Katsumi just had his wife and mother on either side of him. This was a moment Katsumi would never forget, knowing how well the king was for himself. As he sat up, Katsumi checked his heart by feeling his skin and pushing on where it was on his skin. Foxfolk had the ability to know if their heart had been shattered, inflamed, clogged, or any other number of issues that could show up. As he put pressure on all four parts of the heart, he checked for any pain, lumps, or anything wrong with it. This was something Aurelia taught him, and he used it to this very day to know if he should potentially see a healer. As he finished putting pressure on his heart, he turned to Misaki, whom he then told her,
"Whatever that witch or warlock was doing must have been an attempt on my life."
"I can only imagine that it was witchcraft," Misaki sighed, making her hug him tighter. "I thought it was a matter of time before you were caught by surprise by this wretched act of war."
He turned to Aurelia, asking her,
"Have you heard about what happened to me from Katsukun?"
"I have, and I thought it was horrendous."
Aurelia got up and held Katsumi's hand.
"Whatever was happening to you was never deserved, despite your history of heart problems in the past."
She sighed and hung her head down. Her fox ears and tail drooped slightly in the process.
"When I heard from a now-deceased healer that your heart issues were because of witchcraft your father had done to you, I wanted it reversed. Unless you became a Shun Silent, which he knew would be the case, your heart problems would only be healed if you became an SOM prophet."
She looked into his eyes again, saying,
"Since your father had gotten what he deserved, since he attempted to sacrifice you through divination, other witches and warlocks had access to the spells he used against you."
"So that was why my heart problems got worse."
Katsumi sighed and hung his head down. He muttered, venom in his voice,
"That shall not happen to any prophet, for they need a silent badly."
Katsumi just looked straight ahead and said with a confident venom that would even scare anybody,
"The prophecies have already been fulfilled, with exception of around 18 of them remaining. If nobody can understand that, then I am afraid I would be the only one qualified to teach the scriptures. Otherwise, I could forget about it, stay in Wesneth, and be killed off by the Wesneth Second Legion.
This made Aurelia's eyes widen in fear, as Katsumi's tone was the scariest tone she had ever heard while he was calm. It was crystal clear his bitterness towards the SOM had been simmering, and all he wanted to do was homestead and learn how to live off the land. It was very hard to do, but that was the way he could get his mind off of going to war with the Bishop of Wesneth and the Black Bishop of Wesneth. It was only a matter of time before this war started up again, and Katsumi had fought it ever since he started getting viciously attacked by the SOM, Bachenbach, and Toramak Brotherhood. Katsumi looked down and silently reflected for a moment how far he had gotten in this process. It was only time to tell when he would be able to finally get reprieve from the brutal onrush of fire directed toward him. At the same time, Misagi's ear and tail shot up at Katsumi's tone. This was not the first time he said something in this venomous but calm tone. As he did this exact thing, while Misagi herself, Katsumi, and Katsukun were camping on their way to Armra, they twitched in fear, and so did Aurelia's ears and tail, realizing that Katsumi was very serious about what he said. Clearly, he harbored a grudge so deep that he wanted to show his love to those inside the groups. He was unable to as a result of this. It could have been only a matter of time before he just vanished into the wilderness and passed away at a good old age. This was unworkable in Wesneth, and the great horror would happen to him anyway. Katsumi, however, never strayed from his goal, though the only thing that bogged him down was the grudge against what the SOM did to him when he was young. Misagi looked at him as he turned his head her direction. With thick emotion in her voice, she cupped his face and said to him, "Do not allow this to happen to you, Katsumi. I shall be here, come hell or high, make or break." Tears streamed down her face as she did this, knowing that she did not want to see Katsumi in this manner. Meanwhile, Aurelia hugged him and just stayed like that for a moment, knowing that Katsumi was still struggling after all of what he had done was destroyed. Her comforting presence made things easier for Katsumi. Now that she was out of the virulent relationship she had with his father, Kichiro Kurichard, Katsumi had the ability to tell if and or when she finally had gotten rid of her time with Kurichard. Needless to say, his violent rhetoric towards Katsumi was the last straw for Aurelia after Katsumi had departed from Roquad at 16. There was nothing she wanted more than to see Katsumi happy. This was unachievable at that moment, but if he played his cards right, Katsumi would certainly be able to live off the land, exactly what he was doing in Wesneth before the Great Horror had begun. Katsumi knew what he had to do otherwise.